Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
AP News for Friday, August 22nd. I'm Ben Thomas. The Justice Department has released records of its interview with Jeffrey Epstein's imprisoned former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell. It Donahue reports she was asked about President Trump.
Maxwell told Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche the president was always cordial and kind to her.
I admire his extraordinary achievement in becoming the president now, and I like him, and I've always liked him.
Maxwell was asked if she saw Donald Trump engage in any form of sexual behavior.
I never witnessed the president in any inappropriate setting in any way. The president was never inappropriate with anybody. In the times that I was with him, he was a gentleman.
Maxwell was convicted in 2021 of helping lure teenage girls to be sexually abused by Epstein, who was found dead in 2019 in a New York jail cell in what investigators described as a suicide. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Defense set guard troops to start carrying firearms while patrolling Washington, D.C., and President Trump says his law enforcement crackdown there is working.
So I think Chicago will be our next, and then we'll help with New York.
A federal judge has ruled the Trump administration cannot deny funding to Chicago and more than 30 other cities over sanctuary policies. Overseas, Israel's defense minister is warning Gaza City could be destroyed unless Hamas yields to Israel's terms for ending their war. Meantime, Sam Mednick reports the world's leading authority on food crises says Gaza City is in famine.
This comes as Israel said it is ramping up its offensive in Gaza, particularly around Gaza City. In response to the IPC's findings, the army has called them false and rejects it and said that in recent weeks there has been a scale-up of aid that has gone into the Strip. But aid groups say whatever's coming in is not enough. And they warn that if hundreds of thousands of people are forced to evacuate Gaza City, it is only going to exacerbate the situation.
This is AP News. A push for a new world map.
The Mercator projection is one of the world's most popular maps. On it, Greenland and Africa appear to be about the same size. But on the Equal Earth projection, which shows continents in their true proportions, 14 Greenlands would easily fit inside the African continent. Now, a campaign by African advocacy groups is gaining momentum online as it urges organizations to adopt projection. They say it more accurately displays the size of the continent of more than 1.4 billion people. The African Union, with 55 member countries, endorsed the campaign last week in what advocates call a major milestone. They argue correcting the map is about truth and accuracy, affecting how Africa is perceived globally, and would inspire a more balanced view of the continent. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
The latest news through the weekend at apnews.com. I'm Ben Thomas. Thanks for listening.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Happy Hour. This is Deandra Cartwright, and we're on Guardian Radio 96.9. Thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you just tuning in for the very first time, welcome to the show. We are all about pouring a cup of happiness here on Talk. On the Happy Hour, we highlight people and groups doing great things in our community, making a positive impact on our society. We also focus on folks who may not be on this island because with technology, I can bring you in from wherever you are. So we love highlighting Bahamians no matter where you are in the world because we just need to know that there is goodness going on because there's so much negativity around the world and the news and whatnot. So just for 1 hour on Saturdays, you tune in to me and we are going to talk about goodness. We're going to talk about positivity. Now, I'm going to jump right in just to say who our guest is. And yes, I'm doubling it up today. I know y'all have missed me. I haven't been here in a while and I want to catch up. So we have two sets of guests here today. And the very first one, and I'm going to give her some time to acclimate because I have to let you know about some events that are coming up. We have joining us today Laura Kimball Morley of BARC. So BARC stands for the Bahamas Alliance for Animal Rights and Kindness. Their mission is to carry out spay and neuter and education projects to reduce the homeless animal population and end the suffering of dogs and cats in the Bahamas. Very interesting. I know we always hear about the Humane Society and organizations doing great things for our animals, and we're happy to have BARC on with us today. Before we get into that conversation, as always, I just want to give you a heads up on some of the activities that are upcoming. And yes, it's almost the end of August, so I'm going to skirt through September to tell you what's going on. Remember that September is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, so you want to mark your calendars for all of the events that are being planned by the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association. They're starting off strong, and this is in conjunction with my Rotary Club, that's Rotary Club of South Ocean. We are going to be having an Alzheimer's caregiver seminar. It's $5. It's going to be happening at the Fox Hill Community Center. It's free for whomever to apply, and then it's $5 donation, because during this session, you're going to have Zumba. You're going to be hearing from health and legal experts. You're going to have breakfast. You're going to have snacks. It's an opportunity for you to take a moment, because we are celebrating you as caregivers for the valuable work you are doing for those with Alzheimer's and dementia. So please check out our pages. You can check the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association, their page. You also want to double check the Rotary Club of South Ocean. The flyer is there that are that. They're also having, and I have to throw this out there, the University of the Bahamas is having their mix and mingle and meet for the alumni. That's happening on September the 4th. So you want to reach out to the Alumni Affairs Office over there at UB to make sure that you're on the list. Guys, we need to support our nation's premier tertiary institution, and you want to check them out with that. Now, as I said, September is going to be filled with a lot of activities because it is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And, of course, the race schedule is starting up again. So happening on September 13th, and I'm giving you, that's about 3-4 weeks time, maybe three. The Kiwanis Clubs of the Bahamas, they're having a fun run walk. That's happening on September 13th. It's starting at 6 o'clock. So you want to check out their Facebook pages for more information. Then following that, on the 20th, it's the Alzheimer's Association. They're having a memory walk. Now, theirs is the easiest walk I've ever seen because they take it easy. It's a nice, slow pace on a beautiful morning. They start off at Montague Beach so you can see the sunrise. Continuing on to September 27th, Hands for Hunger is having their Paradise Plate. So tickets are already out, so you can purchase yours there. And also, I want to give a special shout-out to the Cancer Society of the Bahamas' Long Island branch, and you all know I'm from Long Island. They're having their annual ball on September 27th. Yours truly is going to need to go home to do that. So that's all we have so far. As always, if you have an event that's happening that's benefiting the community, I ain't talking about things that you're making money and you're not giving it to somebody else. I can't do that. If you want to do that, contact the ad department. But what we want you to do is just let us know so we can highlight it. Now, as I said, we have some fabulous people inside the studio, so I'm going to turn it over to Laura so she can actually tell us so much more about what is BARC, what do they do, and what is her role over there at BARC. She does a lot of things. I know her from some other spaces as well. And so I know she's a woman of many hats, but she's literally wearing the BARC hat today. Of course, it's white and purple, my favorite color. I love that. And so, Laura, all over to you. Let us know who you are and what is BARC.
Thank you, DeAndre. We're so happy to be here. Well, me representing BARC. So, yes, I had to sport our new merch. We got these awesome hats. We have four colors.
Okay.
So you can go on our website for swag. And we have these really cute shirts as well. So I'm sporting my... Sorry, I'm late. I saw a dog, but I was on time for you. So.
I love that. Do the shirts also come in different colors?
Yeah, we have a few different colors in the
okay,
shirts, too.
Okay, wonderful. So yeah. I can match my hat with my shirt.
Exactly.
And the money is going to, of course, BARC.
Yes, actually. So Purina sponsored these hats.
Shout outs to Purina.
Yeah, so we lend them. So all of the proceeds for the hats, because, you know, they covered the cost of this. So all of the proceeds from the sales of the hats for BARC. But yeah, let me give everybody an overview of BARC. We started in 2009 as a small organization, and we have really grown over the last, it's like horrifying to say, what, 15 years? never really expected. So I'm a volunteer. Okay. Most of us are volunteers. Lissa McComb, who I Pinder, who so we run BART together.
Okay, great.
We have a bunch of volunteers. And we have in 2022 was like a big turning point for BART.
Okay.
When we took on some staff because we have a full-time mobile clinic.
Really?
Yeah. So I know before the show started, we were talking about ongoing things.
Yeah.
So our mobile clinic operates 4 days a week.
Oh.
We're currently located on Carmichael, and a huge thanks to Coca-Cola and Caribbean Bottling because they donate the premises.
Okay.
And so it's right where Monroe's Landscaping used to be,
On
the corner there.
Right.
Yeah. So we're there. So if anybody wants to get their dog or cat spayed or neutered, of course, you really, really need donations.
Yes.
If you cannot afford anything, you can get it done for free. But, you know, please, $5, $10, $50. Like, we really appreciate contributions.
But how would persons give you that money?
Oh, when they come
back.
Yeah. Or some people do direct transfers or,
okay,
you know.
Great.
So, yeah, there's a lot of ways if you are interested in getting your dog or cat spayed or neutered. 427-7729 mm-hmm. is our hotline. Mm-hmm. And follow us on social media, Facebook or Instagram. Our website is really a lot of information. So we started just spaying and neutering. And we have just grown and grown over the last 15 years. And we do clinics in the Family Islands. We will be going to do something small in San Salvador. October 1st, the team will fly over.
Great.
To do a few days there. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go to Eleuthera. We'll be there for 2 weekends the end of October.
October is a very busy month for
you all. Yes, yeah. We'll be busy. The Eleuthera clinics will be bigger. The San Salvador, we've done work there over the years, so we mm-hmm. just want to maintain.
Okay.
And then we've been going to Eleuthera for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. But most of our work is done in New Providence.
I would imagine it, because, you know, with the concentration of the population also means a higher population of dogs without homes and whatnot. But I'm just curious, when you go to the Family Islands, what exactly do you do?
So we're spaying and neutering.
Okay.
I mean, and it's a big operation. We were in Georgetown, Exuma in March.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there 2 weekends. So it's mm-hmm. like close to like 300 spay and neuters get
done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. So just so the folks listening in can have an idea, when you run your mobile clinic, do you have numbers on to say how many dogs over a period of time, animals rather, that you have helped.
Fixed. Yeah. So on our website, we have all the numbers. We are, our grand total, we're at like over 35,000 spay and neuters since BART has existed. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, we are really proud. Yes, there's a lot of homeless dogs and cats, but I really do feel like, and you were saying the show is all about positivity.
Yeah.
We have made such a huge difference mm-hmm. over the last, you know, 10 years. And yeah, so if anybody does want to volunteer and get involved, there's a lot of opportunities. Again, check out our website. My email's on there if you want to reach out and talk about volunteer opportunities. And we're always looking for corporate sponsors because, of course, funding is always a challenge.
Well, you know, you have the opportunity to talk more about that right here.
Yeah.
So how would one sponsor BART, or how does one volunteer?
Yeah.
If I just wanted to give a one-time donation, how does that look? Or could it be ongoing? And do you have membership? Because some of the other some organizations have the membership, and that's a form of contribution.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We do have a membership program. Actually, our members this year got a shirt and hat. Like,
okay.
Swag. Yeah. So they got first pick of colors and everything. So, yeah, we have membership. We have people. We do have a small, like, BART is not focused on rescue,
okay.
but of course we're out in the communities. And so what we normally do is we're out there, let me explain like the ways we get animals spayed and neutered.
Yes, please.
So, you know, pet owners might say, oh, I cannot afford to have my dog or cat spayed or neutered, mm-hmm. but I need help. But I can bring my dog in or my cat in. So we work with the local vets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you call our hotline and you live in a certain area, we might direct you to that local vet there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have our mobile clinic. So that's like two ways that people can bring in their dogs or cats. Then We also have an outreach team, so we have several vehicles, because there's also dogs and cats that are like community dogs, mm-hmm. and they have a good food source. They seem really happy, you know. Everybody knows them in the community. They're like relatively loved and safe,
right?
But no one's gonna like take them into the vet or yeah. you know, put them yeah. in their car. Or and then some people have dogs and cats, but they don't have a car. So, you know, so those ways we can go out, pick up the dog or cat. We really encourage them back.
Okay.
So like, especially cats, there's a lot of cat colonies. We, like Treasure Cove, will go and trap the cats and then we just fix them or mm-hmm. spay and neuter them.
Right.
Fix is kind of just like a colloquial
term.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that's Bahamian ease right there. I like that.
So spay and neuter so they don't have any more babies and we just take them back okay. because we don't, the Humane Society has way too many dogs and cats. Like yeah. there's just too many that need homes. It's mm-hmm. really hard to find homes. That's the other reason we really beg people to get their dogs and cats spayed and neutered, because there are no homes. Like we have so many in like foster and everything. So we really focus on the spay and neuter and our education program. Then
ooh, I'd like to talk a little bit about
it's so exciting.
Yeah, that part. Oh, I love your excitement. Laura, tell us about the educational program.
Yes, okay. So we have a, like, we're just getting, like, sort of back into it. Honestly, COVID really sucked the sales out of, out of it all.
As it did with everything.
I know, right? Yeah. And then we lost our person who did the education. She moved back to England.
Okay.
So that was rough. But we have this amazing lady, Amy, and her dog, Bagheera. And super exciting. She's actually working with me to train a rescue pupcake that I have. I adopted two. But Maisie. So we're going into the schools now mm-hmm. and really promoting education and awareness and just responsible animal guardianship and educating the kids, because that's where our future is, right? It's the children.
Of course. And how has the feedback been with the children?
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Amy's really dynamic, and it's just like having a dog that can go into the schools, like just the reaction that the kids have. They love it. We're going to be working, I think, with Albrecht Sale Primary in the fall. I've been in touch with them. So yeah, we're just working, like, our focus, because of our limited resources. So that is something we really need a committed volunteer, or a couple people, if you're interested in helping with that. Because we can only do so much. Amy works full time. So she just volunteers on her day off, which is like, you know, in the middle of the week. And we go into the schools, but we can only do so much. So we're focused on the primary government schools because we feel like the young kids, it's like that's where we can make the change. So yeah, check out our Instagram and Facebook for more updates on that as the school year starts. And then we also have our little Operation Kindness. So as I mentioned, we usually,
I love that name already.
Normally, you know, we are not a rescue. But sometimes we go into the communities, like our outreach coordinators, like Maisie was one, who I ended up adopting. And this, like, you know, you just see these dogs that are just, you know, they're full of love, and but they just have been dealt a really bad hand for whatever reason, and they're not thriving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes if we have a way to rescue them, we have a spot. So again, we need fosters, we need people to adopt. So we created Operation Kindness. So if you want to donate like $25, we have like on our website, you can go on and do like a $25 monthly donation to one of our dogs in the program. So there's lots of ways to donate, like whether it's $10 a month or $500 a month or $50,000 or whatever.
Now remind folks, what is the website?
BarkBahamas.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. And ladies and gents, it's B-A-A.
Yes. R-K. Double A's. Yes. So emphasizing the bark.
There you go. There you go. Wonderful. So we've heard how you can volunteer, how you can donate, how you can contribute. We've heard about the programs that you all are doing. And I fancy it's also a beautiful opportunity because you're inside the field, right? So, and this is something that you knew about, that you're passionate about. What would be advice that you would give those who either already have dogs or cats or want to do so? Mm-hmm. As in to, well, of course, spay and neuter, but to take care of their dogs. And how can they spread that awareness of the importance?
Yes.
Because maybe I need some more information about why this is important.
Well, I would say, first of all, if, you know, never, like, a dog or a cat is like having a child. Mm-hmm. It is a big commitment. It's really sad when people just get a dog and they throw it out in the yard and they think throwing food to it once a day is enough. You know, a dog needs interaction, stimulation, training. You know, that dog needs to be part of the family. And it also is expensive. You know, you have a big problem here we are facing, which we're so overwhelmed with the number of unwanted animals. We haven't even been able to tackle the heartworm issue, but that is like something that's like sort of on our plate as well, as the education of heartworm awareness.
Just stick a pin right there, because I don't own dogs. Unfortunately, yeah. I have an allergy, so it's very difficult, although I love them. But I believe dogs have to be on medication.
Yes.
So heartworm medication is, I think, every month, just to make sure. So I think that's also another point. Like, folks may not know how to take care of their dogs properly.
Yes. And then we are, that's also the huge benefit of the mobile clinic and how much education our team is doing, just driving around, you know, the outreach coordinators, everything, just creating this awareness. Flea and tick, you know, it's not just like the scratching. It's like fleas and ticks carry diseases. Mm-hmm. The heartworm is huge here. Mm-hmm. There is actually an injection now. It's called ProHeart. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can either have like a 6-month or an annual injection, because anyways, I can't get into the life cycle of heartworms, it's really important that, you know, so many, it's human error. Did I give my dog the heart guard this month? Oh, I forgot. Oh, okay.
Right.
Literally the dog can get heartworm if you miss one pill. So, we really talk about the costs of owning a dog, the time commitment, or, you know, cats are a little bit easier, but it's still, you know, time and money.
Of course.
So I think that's like a big thing. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to get a dog. And, you know, you have to think about so many things. And then the second biggest important thing is spaying and neutering that dog or cat. You know, people think, like, humanize the dogs and cats and think that, you know, they don't want to deprive them of their fun, but dogs and cats do not mate for pleasure. So that, you know, only humans and dolphins. So that is like another topic that it's like,
we're learning a lot, Laura.
Yes,
you're teaching us a lot here.
So please spay or neuter your dog or cat, because, you know, that is your contribution to, like, no one wants to see these poor dogs with mange or hit by car or like dying on the side of the road. So you can do your part by spaying and neutering. And
And just also going back to how you say you would go into the community at times for those community dogs and whatnot. So just walk us through as we close out or begin to close out. How can I contact you if I see a community dog that I know just needs help?
Yeah. Or if you know of a colony of cats as well, like, because again, these animals usually have a fine food source and they're doing okay, but let's stop them reproducing.
Right.
And then another thing is the TVT tumors that they get, is like a sexually transmitted disease. So that's another thing.
That's what
thing.
That is. Okay.
What with some of the dogs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you see the tumor looking things on like either the dog's, like, you know, penis or vagina.
Right.
So that's, again, spaying and neutering will prevent that. Just call us, the 427-7729. You can also message us on Facebook. We have a wonderful volunteer who's pretty good at keeping up with the Facebook messages.
Excellent.
Or Instagram. You can PM us on Instagram. So we're very reachable. If we happen to not get back, just send a reminder, because everybody is busy, but we usually are pretty on top of that. So yeah, always message.
I love that. I love that. We've learned so much in such a short time, Laura.
Yeah.
Like, you're great at this.
Oh, thank you. it's been since 2009, so it's just part of it's like in our blood. We joke at Bark that we bleed purple.
Listen, the purple thing, of course, I'm biased because purple is my favorite color, but thank you all for the valuable work that you're doing. I know, you know, doing these things out of the goodness of your heart, volunteering, it takes a lot, I feel. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard of the many ways that you can help Bark do the valuable work that they are out there in the community on a daily basis doing.
Every day.
You can volunteer, you can donate, you can contribute, you can sponsor. And you've heard Laura tell us the hotline. You've heard her tell us about the website, the Facebook page, and the Instagram. So please, let's support BARC and all of the good things that they're doing.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
If your company, so of course, you know, everybody wants coverage, mm-hmm. and we have two great events each year. So coming up is our golf tournament on November 16th,
okay,
which is a really good way to, you know, get the coverage, and then you're also donating and supporting BARC. So
okay.
if for corporate, and then we have our annual triathlon that will be in March next year.
Oh, that's a pot cake thing.
The pot cake man, yes.
Yeah. Hopefully I can do it this time. I was looking at it, I was like, oh no, maybe I can't.
Yeah.
So you have events that you can also support. And then also BARC tends to have contribution boxes at certain businesses that you can always drop a dollar. Whatever you may have.
Right
in those boxes. Yeah. Exactly. So you want to keep an eye out for BARC. Usually it's purple coded, so you can check it out there. And you can always contact them. Telephone, Instagram, Facebook, website, they're all there. So let's do our part to help them help our community.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura. It was such a pleasure having you on, and we're looking forward to having you back.
Thank you so much, Deandra.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Happy Hour. Don't leave me yet. We still have on the folks coming on afterwards to talk to us about dragon boat racing. I know, you're probably wondering what that is, but they have been in the community for quite some time. They have a festival coming up. So don't leave me. Stay tuned right after these messages.
Awesome. Thank you.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and state-of-the-art functionality, the choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because it's always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Happy Hour. This is DeAndre Cartwright, and you're tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9. It was so great having Bark on before. Please support them. And now we have yet another thing that we can do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, when people say, nah, so I ain't got nothing going on, that's just because you don't know. You don't know what's happening. And so what we're trying to do is let you know about some of these fascinating things that are happening. And have you all ever seen a dragon boat? Have you all ever seen one? We have the folks on today who are going to talk to us all about what in the world is dragon boat racing. They have an upcoming festival, and it's such a beautiful mix of cultures, but it's also sportsmanship. If you see how they actually move these boats inside the water, they are strong individuals. But guess what? They allow persons who are just learning to get into it. Now, I'm not going to take up the expert. That's why we brought them in. Joining us in studio, we have quite a few of them. They brought us everybody. I'm happy everybody can fit. This is wonderful. So we have, representing the Bahamas Chinese Dragon Boat Association, Brent Wong, Susie Chen, and Miss Chiquita. Which is the last one? Archer. You know, that's because I want to call my other friend name. That's because she had a birthday. I'm so sorry. Wonderful. But we have these beautiful folks inside here, and they're going to talk to us about dragon boat racing. They're also going to be talking about the 4th annual Bahamas International Dragon Boat Festival. And then I also want them to tell us, they just came from away. Some of their people went away to represent our country in these races, and I saw it all over Facebook, but I know if everybody else did, so I want them to talk a little bit about that, because they're not just keeping it here in the Bahamas. They've taken us elsewhere. So, without further ado, and I can start with Brent, because that's my point of contact, so I got to start there. So, you know, usually ladies first, but I got to start right there. So sorry. So, Brent, tell us a little bit more who you are and what in the world is dragon boat racing.
So, I'm actually a dragon boat enthusiast. My current roles are as an IDBF race official, which is the International Dragon Boat Federation. And I am also a trainer. So what I'm also helping to do for other people in the sport is that I help them to tap into as much information as they need to compete at the level that they want to, or to participate in the level they want to. Most of the sport is actually split between recreational and then highly competitive. Highly competitive means you'd be traveling more often.
Oh.
And it usually means that your time in the water and your off-water time actually is higher stakes. You could do the same amount of investment of time and money, but what happens is it has higher stakes for you per season. So
it sounds like a game. Tell me about what in the world is higher stakes. What does that mean?
So what happens when you are a competitive team is that you are looking to make sure that you finish in the top three at your national championships, and that literally gives you a seed into being able to compete and represent your country at Worlds.
Oh, right. So it's not just local. Nope. It's international.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Now we done jump from local to international, and you say that you're an enthusiast,
yes,
that you are an instructor. What are you instructing people to do? What in the world is dragon boat racing?
Okay, so dragon boat racing has It's tied to a cultural story, mm-hmm, right, about a poet that was thrown in a river.
Okay.
And what happens is the people went to go save him.
Uh-huh.
And they basically got into these Chinese-style kayaks, and they paddled towards him.
Right.
What they did was, because this is, you don't have to dramatize a story to keep it alive, right?
Listen, I'm like, I didn't even know.
So it's like thousands of years old. Uh-huh. And what happens is, apparently, this body of water had piranhas in it. So what they did was they literally threw rice dumplings in there to try to distract some with their belly.
Right.
But what they also did was they also had the drummers on the front beating so that it would also frighten the rest.
Right.
So feed some, frighten the rest.
Right.
And then paddle like hell to get to the boat and get them out of the water.
Right.
So that's the cultural history.
Right.
Origins of the sport. However, this was like thousands of years ago, like 2,500 plus years ago.
Right.
However, the majority of people that are participating in the sport are not even Chinese descendant at all.
So they're appreciating the culture.
Or the sport activity and the social gathering. So
there's
same
many aspects to this.
Many aspects of it. So just like how you have gym buddies,
mm-hmm,
right? So you might not go to the cycling, so the spinning class, mm-hmm, yourself,
mm-hmm,
but you would go if like three or four of your friends went.
Yes.
That's how a lot of the teams start.
Really? Okay, so it's about friendships. It's about building up those connections.
Correct.
So you're telling me I could network while I'm on the water paddling? I like that.
I can't tell you it's the equivalent of the golf course on the water with
not
paddling.
The same. It's not golf the same. Golf course versus Chinese kayaking. I know.
It's not the same, but there are some similarities and you have some great opportunities. So for instance, there are times where you would compete in an event or you would help to officiate an event mm-hmm. or you would work an event in another country.
Mm-hmm.
You would not see that person for probably another 5 years, 10 years, because the chances of, for instance, as an official, for you to get selected for an event, what happens is you're selected from maybe 1,000+ people that could be selected.
Right.
But by the time as they finalize that list, it's like 40 or 60 people. Wow. From all over the world. And they have to pick to represent a spread.
Right, right, of course.
Because that's how you gain the experience to take it back to your country so you could basically mature and develop the sport in your country and bring it back. So you could literally not see anybody for like 5-10 years. But mm-hmm. what happens is you keep in touch through Facebook groups, WhatsApp groups, and things like that.
I like that. And then you touched on a very important point right there, you know, the connections that you make, but also the very fact that it's starting from home. Right.
Yes.
And I think this is a lot of the reasons as to why the association is very important. So I'm going to take it over now to one of the two beautiful ladies joining us. And I see that Miss Susie. I know. Look, you can tell me what is the association? What does it mean? How do I join? Or do I need to be athletic? Because this is tell me more.
Well, definitely not. You don't have to be athletic to join. Once you're able and capable, you can come on down and, come and take a class. You could sign up with Brent to get a class in paddling and or just come on down. We now have Monday practically every day of the week now that it's coming right before the festival.
Right.
Everyone's want to come in and get a chance on the water and do their practice before the event. But normally we have practice twice a week, mm-hmm. and which normally runs on a Saturday morning mm-hmm. From 8 to 10, and also like Monday or Wednesdays after evenings.
So, but Susie, you finished your session before you came.
I was getting all psyched up for this interview, so I didn't go down the water today.
No, that's beautiful. But with the association, how do folks get involved with the association? How can I support? Or do you accept members? Like, how does it work?
Yes, we definitely want all hands on board. Any help that you can offer, we get, our financing, small donations. We have people that do an ad in the book that we run every year, corporate sponsors or anything, any volunteers at the event. Mm-hmm. We appreciate anyone that will come out and help out in any ways.
Wonderful. Now, how do I get in contact?
We have a website, and we also have a cell number, a WhatsApp number that people can reach out to.
And what's that number?
Okay. The number is 477-3203.
Love that. Uh-huh. Now, the booklet that you're talking about, so this is in conjunction not just with the association, but your festival, right?
Correct.
Now,
yeah.
Are you going to tell me about the festival, or is Ms. Archer over there, who's hiding away from the microphone, is she going to tell me about it?
Well, we both can pretty much discuss it.
Well, then, tell me about it, Ms. Susie.
Okay. Well, it's going to be this next coming weekend,
mm-hmm.
which is the 29th and the 30th at Goodman's Bay.
Okay.
So that at that day, on Saturday, normally we run the races,
mm-hmm.
and we also have a lot of food and entertainment out there. Ms. Archer is going to go into more details on that. And then Sunday is usually where we have the finals and we announce the winners
mm-hmm.
and the bulk of the entertainment's displayed. Uh-huh. And a lot of food.
I already marked my calendars for like for sure. I got to make sure it's around lunchtime to make sure I'm there. But listen, is there a cost?
No, it's free for all participants.
What?
Yes, you could come on out, take a view of the races that are going on, and there's no entrance fee.
I love that. So no entrance fee. I can come and learn more about this sport. I can get food, which I'm sure is going to be super great. And then I can watch.
Correct.
Oh, my. Okay, good. So you said Saturday and Sunday.
Correct.
I like that. Okay. Now, before I move on, see how Ms. Archer's looking at me? She's trying to hide.
She's ready to give you all the details.
Oh, great. So we've heard about Dragon Boat Racing.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about the origin, which is such a beautiful story. I want to read the original poem for that. And then we've learned about how do you qualify and all these great things. But the festival is happening right here at Goodman's Bay next weekend. So we want to learn a little bit more about what to expect, what's going to be happening. I'm just more concerned. Do I need cash or can I pay with card? Like, I need to know because I will come out there for the food alone. So Ms. Archer is going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, let me say, we are very excited about our fourth annual Bahamas International Dragon Boat Festival event, which, again, will happen next week. We don't want you to forget Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. What to expect, let me tell you, we are going to have a ball. We're going to have a fantastic time. Last year, I'm sure Brent and Susie would remember, you know, we were totally saddened by the fact that it rained a little bit. You know, the forecast, right. It was forecasted. But let me tell you, Saturday, we had such a competitive day of just on the beach activities. The teams could not get into the water because of how rough the waters were.
Right.
But we entertained and we had so many races. We had races where they were running around the actual dragon boats. So last year, if there was something that people would have missed out on last year, this year is going to be even more exciting. We have opened up our entertainment to so much more. We focus more on children.
There's entertainment too. Ms. Susie, you didn't tell me there was entertainment.
Yeah, there's entertainment. Now, Saturday normally...
for Chiquita to talk say. About.
Now, listen, you know, Bahamians love a good time now.
Yeah, we like to dance, right? Mm-hmm. I've been dancing last night, so... trust me, next week is going to be another dancing experience.
I love that.
Yes.
So I can dance.
You're going to dance.
What's
you're going to go.
Music?
So we have the St. Anne's School Band.
Shout
they're going
to
come
out to my good iron looking schools.
That's what I like. Hello, alum.
Hello.
Okay,
I love that.
So the school band is going to be out there, hopefully about 10, a 10-member team who's going to be out there on the stage on Saturday just entertaining us for an hour.
Love that.
We're excited about that. We do have a youth group as well, a dance club. It's called Y2.
Okay.
Yes. Ms. Aubrey Sterling.
I love the focus on the young people.
It's important.
Definitely.
It's truly important. So we want to say thank you to those clubs as well, because they're going to come out, they're going to do like a little Bahamian Chinese fusion dance.
Oh,
so I'm excited to see that. Yes. And listen, this is in the sand. So could you imagine what's going to happen in the sand
Girl,
on Saturday and Sunday?
Boy.
Yes.
I just feel my quads already, because I'll be running up and down just to make sure I can watch the dances, listen to the music, watch the races. Oh, goodness.
We also have Urban Renewal.
The
marching band.
Oh, goodness. So
they're
really
going to
be walking up and down the sand. I like that.
We're really going to have a fantastic time. And that is Saturday. I cannot say enough about Sunday, because Sunday is our opening ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So we really go out. We have like a lion dance.
What?
We have the Urban Renewal Band coming in on Sunday.
Okay.
We expect the Prime Minister to be there. He's already sent his acceptance to come and have a conversation with us. Let me say that.
Love that.
We're going to have a lot of VIPs there. But we do have special entertainment by DMAC this year.
Hey, DMAC,
hello.
What are you saying?
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
I love that.
And we cannot miss Junkanoo.
I was just going to say, you know what's coming. I was going to ask.
We cannot miss Junkanoo. So elite.
Now my question is, right?
Yes, go ahead.
Who could be? Is it one of the, which group? Or is it one or two?
A or B group.
I just want to make sure.
We do have an entertainment
company
that's providing Junkanoo.
Listen, y'all heard that. They're staying safe. Because they say Junkanoo coming up right now. And that's about the culture.
It's all about the culture. We do have Kung Fu demonstrations. And I think I may try my hand at Tai Chi, but we
this
do have...
Tai Chi too?
Listen, you can come on board.
Oh, listen.
We're going to have a lot of participation from our patrons as well. So we want persons to come out and just be open, you know, open to try different things.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cultural event.
Mm-hmm.
So with food, of course, we have Chinese cuisine. We have Bahamian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
We have persons who are coming in. Do you know Tropic Churros?
Yes.
So they'll be out there as well. We're going to have ice cream. We'll have acai Bahamas. We're going to have some sauce, right?
That's my waistline. Expand and thinking about the food.
So we're going to have food. We're going to have a lot of drinks.
Okay.
A lot of soft drinks, a lot of hard drinks.
Oh, I was just going to say that because I was like, you know, the Long Island in me, I need to know what type of libations we're talking about.
There's a lot of everything.
Okay.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of stuff. We're going to have our live DJ. We're going to have a really fun end of summer event.
I like that,
because
it's
Goodman's
literally
Bay.
The last
it
weekend
is.
Of August.
And when school starts, come on, kids, get focused. Mm-hmm. But have a good time Saturday and Sunday.
Now, we don't say the days, but tell me the times. I need to know what time I'm coming out and what time maybe I think I leave in.
So, well, you know, you could leave any time, right?
But No. You're giving me too much stuff to do.
But we're going to start at 9 o'clock. 9 in the morning.
What?
So races, I'm Brenda, I'm going to turn it over to Brenda, because hopefully we will start by 9. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we can get, and I'm just nudging a little bit, a Zumba, you know, kind of get people get stretched and get excited. And then we're going to start our, then we'll start our first and second races going out on the water. We'll normally have a break at about 12 or so.
Okay.
And then hopefully by, I would say, 4 or 5, 6, 7, you know, around that time. The races should be done around maybe 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay.
But we'll party all night.
Oh, I like that on both days?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Both,
I mean,
both days.
Dwight, if you're listening, which I know you are, I may be late to the morning blend on Monday, okay? I'm going to be out to the Dragon Boat Festival.
Well, we want to see Dwight as well. So well, Dwight needs to be out there as
you
well.
You heard that, Dwight? Now you have your invitation direct. So is that everything that you have for me for everything outside of the racing?
I think so, outside of our spot going
25
on.
25 teams?
Yeah.
Well, how much persons on each team?
We have about 10 to 12, 10 to 14 persons on a boat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Now, you know who good at match, right? Y'all realize that's a couple hundred right there.
Yeah,
easy.
That's a lot of people. We're going to have a lot of people out there.
Okay, so you're going to have about 25 boats, is it? Or do they share boats?
No, we have 8 boats. We have eight boats that do not turn over in the water.
New boats.
They're new boats, so they're stable.
So how do they not turn over? You know what? Brent could tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
right?
Brent could tell you about the boats itself. Yeah,
because you're all saying
they're ocean
boats. They're ocean boats, and they say they cannot turn over.
I wouldn't say cannot.
Oh,
I would not say cannot, because if somebody rocks it enough, you know, it'll probably
capsize. Okay, so intentionally it could. Okay, gotcha. All right. Wonderful. So with that saying, now Brent, you got to talk to us. Let me know a little bit more. Why are you trying to hide from me? I need to know. Talk to us a little bit more about the technicalities, about how many teams are going to be out there. We've heard that there are going to be 8 boats, but there are multiple teams, 25, on them. This sounds like a very rigorous day of races. And then, of course, you've got to tell us, what are the prizes, man? We like things. I know I can be on a boat, but I want to know what these people are going to win. Or is it just bragging rights? Because that's important, too.
Listen.
That's important, too.
Competition is real.
Bragging rights is like the first prize. That's like the top prize that everybody gets. But it's medals that I know of for this year.
Yes.
But I don't know of any other prizes after that. But I do know from previous experience, because the second and third year. So in the second and third year, I actually competed. And the team that literally finishes in the top class in first place, they usually get something else, but it's usually given to them discreetly.
Of course, of course, of course.
So besides the nice clangy medals, right?
I like the clangy medals.
Listen, you have not heard nearly a better sound of clanging.
Yes.
Like a team that has literally won multiple sets of medals walking around the beach afterwards. Like, these are like the most excited volunteers to help with stuff afterwards, right? But one medal don't clang by itself. So you need to have two.
You have the multi.
Yeah,
goodness.
You
okay,
have two.
Okay.
So
man, when y'all say y'all take the bragging rights seriously, that's a next level type thing.
Dead serious. And as you see with Battle of the Bands, right?
Mm-hmm.
The uniform services, they actually do compete against each other.
And
there is their own division.
Oh, which one?
Police and the defense.
Man, no
immigration
man.
Too,
and immigration is now.
Yes.
Yeah, immigration is here. You agree, right?
I think it's a part of the original plus.
Part of the original plus some.
And the prison.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
and
the prison. Yeah, corrections is new.
Okay, all right. So y'all,
this is
if y'all
competition.
If y'all are hearing this, ladies and gentlemen, that means that they're going to have, this sound like this, the beat retreat times two again, man, except they could be on the water.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So that means, listen, all y'all who know armed forces, all the police, defense, corrections, all you know.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all
so
gotta,
can you imagine the testosterone after who wins? You got guys doing one-hand push-ups on the beach, bragging, you know, and everyone's taking their pictures with their medals.
Oh, listen, I'm going to say that, and you realize they could be like, yeah, we got this until y'all try again next year.
Right.
Yes. So it ain't just about the clanging of the medals. It's
right.
Like, uh-huh, no, we got this. Y'all got this voice.
Exactly.
It's voice if whoever win is the same set. who was said to be the best during Beat Retreat, because I hope y'all know that's a competition.
Yes,
that is be a competition.
Yes, it is.
I love that y'all doing this. This is great.
That's one of the goals too, to have like different groups of same field competition.
Yeah.
Like this year, we have two
insurance companies. Yeah,
really?
So yes. Yeah, NUA, JS mm-hmm. Johnson. Yep. Shout out to them. They're mm-hmm. sponsors mm-hmm. of this year, and so we're trying to create more little groups of competition.
I like that. Okay.
So we need to get the broadcasting. That would be nice.
Listen, Chester, I hope you're listening in, because you know Chester Robards runs the Chickcharney.
Yes.
Is involved with the Chickcharney Challenge.
He's competed.
He's competing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how I found out, Chester. I thought he was closer than that.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he was on the team.
Yep.
Okay, love that. Now, I don't know if you can see me and Dwight in a boat, but, you know, maybe next year, you know, we could try. But, Brent, take us back also now to the actual technicalities around the races. They're starting 9. You're going to have a few, take a break, start again, and it's going to happen again on Sunday. Because, you know, time flies when you're having fun. You only got about 7 more minutes. Let us know, what do those races look like?
So the race progression, which is the race schedule and then the mm-hmm. categories, mm-hmm. are actually being decided by Dr. Christine Chin, who's actually president of the Dragon Boat Association mm-hmm. and the chief official.
Okay.
So depending on the style of a competitive event, mm-hmm. then that race progression will be set up in divisions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the divisions will be like, I would like to call it like fun categories. So for instance, there may be almost automatically uniform services are going to be in their own category.
They gotta be
in their own category, mm-hmm. right? There is restaurants and resorts.
Oh.
Because there's multiple resorts that actually have teams.
Okay.
Right? And then there's times where
I come down with my pom-poms.
Hey, listen, all that support is literally these pictures and these videos. What happens is each year basically tells its own story. Mm-hmm. Right? And from time to time, you realize that a person who was a volunteer in 1 year is literally like the captain of a team. And like 2 years later, mm. a team manager is now, you know, literally, you know, a drummer on the boat and things like that.
Yeah.
So what's...
Who just said drummer on a boat?
Drummer's at the front.
So there's a drummer.
There's a drummer.
So there's somebody drumming while they're paddling.
They better. If they want... What happens is...
Well, I think I learned a little bit about this. That's the person setting like the pace, right?
Yes.
Is the person setting the pace.
Okay.
Usually.
All right. To the former man thing, listening and see, I used to listen.
So, like Shakita mentioned earlier, each boat literally has a maximum of 12 person positions in the boat.
Uh-huh.
And the actual crew is allowed up to 14. So 12 plus 2 reserves.
Okay.
Right? Now, it's not common... But if weather gets rough, which you've experienced at least in 2 of the former years, what happens is you'll take 2 paddlers off. But the drummer is necessary, the steer is necessary. You need to have a minimum of 8 paddlers,
okay,
right?
Gotcha.
The idea is that they will have 3 rounds of racing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a time competition.
Okay.
And then sometimes it's a placement,
right.
Final placement at the finish line
mm-hmm.
competition. And when I say sometimes it's a time competition, sometimes the times are literally averaged towards an end.
Mm, okay.
Versus, I finished first in 3 rounds and automatically I'm first in this class.
Right, right.
As an example. So because this is not the world championships,
right.
it's designed to be more fun.
Okay.
So therefore it's not, how do I put this? The stakes are not as high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the competition and the actual spirit is just as high.
I was just going to say, this high, because we're
bragging.
We're going for bragging, right?
Yes.
I said that I win.
Yes.
Like, I got to make sure I do what I got to do.
Yes, especially if I was in, for instance, if I was in the C class, if my crew was in the C class last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know that we are in the process of going through a second round and a third round, and now I'm in the A class. Oh, I looking at everybody who was in A class last year, and I looking to talk absolute trash. Of course, I ain't gonna do that, but
of course, I'm Mr. Race Instructor, but I can do it if I on the
That's what happens, right?
Right.
Right. So the trainer and the team manager is the ones who have to be composed when the whole team ready to pop off on everybody else.
Listen, I'm ready.
It does get that intense. So the idea is that you have roughly 3 rounds of racing
mm-hmm.
that determines placement, and then you have the finals. So at the moment, because of the race site, mm-hmm. and because we have we have temporal access to Goodman's Bay.
Right.
And we have thing, you have conditions to work around, like access to the seabed. Mm-hmm. That controls us, our ability to lay down. Buoys are important for people to know where the course is.
Right, of course.
So with that said, what happens is we're limited to 200 and 500 meter distances for our races.
Okay.
Right? Now, overseas, you have race distances of like 1K and 2K. That's a whole nother thing.
Y'all are trying to kill me there.
Trust me, it's exhilarating. So anyway, the 200 meter race is designed for basically sub 1 minute, and then the 500 meter race is basically a 2.5 minute race.
I like that. Okay, that that sounds doable.
A person that only has like an hour, wink wink, uh-huh. right? You only have an hour. You want to grab something to eat, but you want to watch a few races. You could watch several races in that 1 hour.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
You could even watch the races change heat division.
Got that.
Right.
Now, Brent, you've given us a lot to think about. And our last 2 minutes, because, you know, tell it the stand you're coming on right after, and I want to make sure I keep it in my time. What would be the final things y'all want to tell folks? And what to look forward to? Just repeat again, when is it happening? Where is it happening? And the fact that it's free.
Well, I think we definitely need to shout out to our team. The executives of this committee, mm-hmm. they work year-round here. So they're doing it out of the bottom of their hearts. So they really doing all of this work for the love of the sport and to showcase our culture and to give back to our community. And also, we also donate to the Cancer Society every year. Mm-hmm. So proceeds from our event is also donated to Cancer Society and also a new group that we're going to donate to this year. And definitely all of the corporate sponsors that contributed to this event. Without them, we can't do it. I don't know if Chiquita have time to run down to some of the names of our corporate sponsors.
I would love to do that. So very quickly, I'd like to say thank you to Doctors Hospital, Tropic Seafood, Sands, Bayer, J.S. Johnson, Breezes, Bahamas Waste, Sound Crate, Commonwealth Brewery. We'd like to say thank you again to Ministry of Tourism, GSO, Cuba Libre, Alive, and NUA as our main sponsors. So thank you so much. Again, we are going to be on Goodman's Bay on August 30th and 31st, which is next week, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have everyone out there. We want everyone to come and participate. If you have your sandals, if you don't, if you have your bathing suits, there is an... Brent spoke about having that seabed removed. In some cases, we're going to push it out a little bit, so we'll bring it in so that persons and participants can actually sit. So it's that close up as well. So we want to invite everyone to come out. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring corporate Bahamas, bring civic organizations, bring everyone. Come on out, and it is happening live, Goodman's Bay, next week, starting at 9.
Love that. Thank you all for coming on the Happy Hour to tell us all about this fabulous festival. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard so much about what's going down next weekend. Please mark your calendars. Go out there. And it's supporting a great cause, the Cancer Society of the Bahamas. So make sure you're out there where you can have fun watching the races, getting food, and being exposed to all types of entertainment. And it's for free. Come on now. Let's end the summer great by supporting this festival. Thank y'all for coming on. Y'all stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 for the rest of the Saturday programming. Have a wonderful week. And for those of you, stay tuned to the station. I'll talk to y'all on Monday. Piccadilly, don't really know how I got here. I guess it's on my phone.